Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a new series. We're going to be talking about Buddhism. Now, more specifically, we're going to be talking about Theravada Buddhism in this series. Buddhism, like Christianity, has many different sects, if you will, different, almost like denominations, with extreme differences in beliefs. In this series, for the most part, we're just going to be talking about Theravada Buddhism. That is the form of Buddhism that is as about fundamental as you can get, going back to what the original Buddha, Mr. Siddhartha Gautama, and his beliefs, his teachings, his Dharma, if you will, that means teachings. And so in this series, we're going to be looking at the history of Buddhism. You know, how did this get started? The beliefs of the Theravada Buddhism, which is the more fundamental Buddhism. And then we're going to be looking at some of the major problems with Buddhism and quite possibly how we can reach those who are caught up in this. Now, okay, many of you have experienced Buddhists throughout wherever you're living, in the Americas, over in Europe. I've got listeners all over the place now. And there are so many flavors of Buddhism. And the belief system is so varied. I mean, we're talking extremes here. This is not like different denominations in Christianity where you can at least point back to the fundamentals, the essential Christian doctrines, and say, okay, well, we at least all hold these core beliefs in common. No, it's more like, if you want to stick with the Christianity analogy, Theravada would be like Christianity in general, okay, where we all believe in the fundamental essential doctrines of the faith, and there's few differences between denominations, okay, but then you start going outside of that, and you find these other groups that call themselves Christians, and really don't have much to do with Christianity at all. So let's say from Christianity, all of a sudden you move out a few steps and you find Catholicism, which takes the Bible and many of the teachings in Christianity and expands on them. And next thing you know, the Bible is not that authority, but rather it's the Bible plus the words of the Pope, plus the tradition, plus the words of the magisterium, okay? And then you start getting all of these wild new doctrines that cannot be found in the fundamental beliefs of Christianity. But then you take it out a step farther, and then you find Mormons who claim that they're Christians, but they're not Christians at all. They have all these extra works, these extra Bibles, or these extra books, and these bizarre, completely different from Christianity beliefs. And then you take it a step further and you find the Jehovah's Witnesses, and you go even farther and you find Christian Science, which has just about nothing to do with Christianity. And now we're starting to have more of a resemblance of the differences in the different schools of Buddhism, if you will. Theravada being the fundamental group where they stick with the conservative beliefs of the Buddha. And then you get farther out and you find some of these bizarre different belief systems that call themselves Buddhism, like Zen Buddhism, which is what you mainly find here in the U.S., and there's all these other Shishirian, Nichiren Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, Pure Land Buddhism, Tendai, and it goes on and on. And I'll briefly talk about some of these other forms of Buddhism later, towards the end of this series. Now, eventually, what I'd like to see over the coming years is to actually have a series about each and every one of these different forms of Buddhism. But for now, I want to stick with Theravada. How did this whole thing get started? What is the foundation of this Buddhist faith? And so that's where we start. And we're going to start with the life of this Siddhartha Gautama. And he lived in Nepal. And guys, this can be so confusing in and of itself, because all the writings that we have about this Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. They come from 500 years after he lived and beyond. Okay, so we don't even know just how historical Buddhism is, unlike the Bible, unlike the history of the Bible, and how we have not only the Bible and its amazing, inspired of God works that were, each of the books of the Bible were written either right during the time that these events were taking place or very shortly thereafter, that are based in real historical settings. We have extra-biblical writings of others who were there at the time as well, writing from a different perspective. Okay, so the Bible is amazing in that it's rooted in real history. Buddhism is a little more elusive. Some people even question whether or not the Buddha really lived. I'm not going to go that far, honestly. Give me a break. I mean, we have all these writings, and the guy never existed? No, no, he lived, okay. Do we have the teachings he actually taught? His real Dharma? Yeah, we probably do, but it's buried. I mean, it is buried in piles of works. By the way, the Theravada Buddhists use for their sacred text a group of writings called the Tripitaka, or some websites and some books say the Tipitaka. I prefer the Tripitaka because when I'm reading through all this stuff, I'm like, man, that's pretty trippy, dude. And so I'm like, Tripitaka. No, okay, anyway, sorry about that. But the Tripitaka, which means three baskets. And in these three baskets is the discipline basket, which is like the rules for the Singha, the monks. We have the teaching basket, which is more of the Dharma, the teachings of Buddha, okay? And then you have the metaphysical basket, which is more of Buddhist philosophy. Okay, and this Tripitaka is about 11 times, oh my goodness, 11 times the size of the Bible. So if you can imagine, okay, the Bible is inspired of God. So when you read it, it all fits together. We're talking about something, this collection of writing that is 11 times the size of the Bible, is not inspired of any kind of God, okay? And written over 500 years after the time of the Buddha. All right, so when you start looking at it from that perspective, this gets confusing. And the more I've studied for this series, the more overwhelmed I got. Just because there's so much material. And you read from one authoritative, if you were seeing me right now, I'm doing air quotes, authoritative website that's talking about official Theravada beliefs. And then you go to another authoritative Theravada website, and they've got completely different beliefs. And you're going, oh man. All right, so I guess one thing to take away from this is that when you're trying to talk to somebody who's involved in Buddhism, don't, even if you've listened to this series and memorized every last word of this entire series and listened to 50 other podcasts on Buddhism, don't assume that you know what they believe. Ask. All right? Have a conversation. Ask them what they believe. And you, understanding Buddhism a little bit better, can put things together in your own mind and then find out good questions to ask them to somehow try to steer them towards the truth. But in this series anyway, we're going to look at the Theravada beliefs, which is the most fundamental belief system of Buddhism, and work our way out from there in future series about Buddhism. So I've already got myself rabbit trailed like 10 times already in this series, and this first part of the series. And so let's get back to this Siddhartha Gautama. Somewhere around the time of 560 to 480 BC, and even those dates are questionable, okay? I've gone to so many different websites that have given so many different dates for when this guy lived. But anyway, he was raised in Nepal in a very wealthy family. Now, Siddhartha was raised in a Hinduistic society. All right, I haven't done a series on Hinduism yet, and that is coming. That's coming up the road. But Hinduism has somewhat paved the way for Buddhism. Buddhism is somewhat of a philosophical reforming of Hinduism, if you will. All right, I'll elaborate on that quite a bit. But Hinduism, you know, has all these deities, right? Well, Buddhism is completely different. It has no god, and it takes some of the concepts that you find in Hinduism and changes them a little bit and assimilates them into Buddhism, and then utterly rejects other parts of Buddhism. So, or Hinduism. Hinduism is that foundation for Buddhism, as you will see as we go forward here. So, Siddhartha is raised in this household that has Hinduistic beliefs. And just to refresh some of your memory, there was this caste system that he was born into. This caste system, the highest caste is going to be the Brahmins, and that's going to be your priests, your intellectual elite, spiritual leaders. I suppose if you were to compare it to our society, you would find the philosophers, the religious leaders, teachers. Okay, so this is the highest caste. Oh, by the way, whatever caste system you're born into, that's what you're stuck with. You don't ascend the ranks. You can't just be born in rags and work your way up to riches, if you know what I mean. Okay, so the Brahmin, they are those who are born into the highest caste. Then you have the Kshatriyas. Okay, guys, if I mispronounce some of this stuff, you're going to get so many mispronounced words throughout this series. It is what it is, right? Okay, so that you get what you get, okay? Now, Siddhartha Gautama was born into this caste. He was one of the Kshatriyas. These guys were those who protected society. So you have your military, if you were to parallel it with our society, you would have your politicians, your police, your military. Does that make sense? And that's the type of family that Siddhartha Gautama was born into. They were very wealthy, but we'll come back to that in a few minutes. And then you have, I know I'm going to mispronounce this, the Vaisyas caste. And this would be your craftsmen, your artisans, your farmers, people that produced, your skillful producers in society. Under that, you have the Shudras, and these would be more of like the maintenance people, the lower forms of labor, the hard labor. And then on bottom, you have the Dalits. And these are the people that are considered the untouchables. I mean, you just pretty much you ignore these people altogether. Okay, they are the lowest life forms in this Hinduistic caste system. But anyway, Buddha was born into this incredibly wealthy family. So I'm going to stop right there. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the life of Siddhartha Gautama and how he got enlightened. Where did he get all these crazy views? And how did we get where he was to where we are now? Friends, if you like these types of podcasts, if you're interested in worldviews, apologetics, creation, evolution, Bible difficulties, and the like, chances are you're going to find much that you'll be interested in. Come out to my website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and there I have a gigantic section called the Podcast Archive. There are almost 400 episodes in the podcast archive so far, and I'm throwing more of them in there every single day. So yeah, come and check it out. I think you're going to find some podcasts on some other subjects you're interested in. Also, if you guys would like to chat with me, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.